However you choose to listen to the program, that's where we're going to be today. We'd like to say thank you to the great folks at Treasure Your Landscape, Dan and Treasure and their wonderful team. They're a licensed and insured family business. They are in Brevard County. They've got over 20 years of experience in the landscaping fields, and they really, really do know their stuff. And so some of our plants got impacted by the frost earlier this year, and Dan's team came out, and you know, some of them, you know, just kept on chugging. Others got pretty seriously impacted, and they put biblical terminology to use. Some of them they pruned way back to the point you're like, I'm not sure that's coming back, but with their advice and their care, a lot of those plants that were kind of, you know, looking dead, now they're coming back to life. They some of them, you know, were a little it was going to take them a long time to recover, and so Dan and their team came out and replaced a couple of those items, and they said, hey, make sure that you water this. They give you the advice. I've got an irrigation system, he said to me before, you know, whenever there's a new plant that's put in, you need to make sure that you hand water it, with a stipulation, and that is unless, you know, God waters it for you and it rains, and then in that case you don't have to do that. And so last week, no need for watering, because God definitely took care of it. They have a full array of products. They have paver installation that they do. They have artificial turf. They can install a carefully designed putting green. They have landscape lighting, water features, landscape repair. They can do everything that is necessary to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. Their phone number is 321-749-1432. They also have Space Coast Nursery, which is north of the Barge Canal. Lots and lots of beautiful plants that will thrive in your environment. You can go out, you can see the putting green, see the artificial turf. You can check it out Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. The phone number there is 321-452-5565. And on top of all of that, not only are they really great at what they do, they love Jesus. They are friends of the Refresh Radio program, and they want to see the Word of God go throughout Brevard County. And like a person I used to know said, you know, his statement was, I'm doing my part to keep Brevard beautiful. Treasure Your Landscape. They're doing their part to keep landscaping beautiful here in Brevard County. So we want to thank Dan and Treasure and all of the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. God bless y'all. Today, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 in verse number 31. We'll read on down through verse number 35. Says, what then shall we say to these things? And that's what we've been going through from that statement. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? And that's really the thought that we're addressing here today. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Here's the next part. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in response to who shall bring a charge against God's elect, the initial statement, it is God who justifies, who is he who condemns? It continues with this statement. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So we're talking about the love of God here, but there are several characteristics here in Romans 8 that could really help us to define what we could look for inside of people who, you know, are claiming to love us. And so these can really help define some things. So let me go through these. It starts off and it says, it is Christ. I want you to know that Christ is not Jesus's last name. There's a lot of profane use of the name of Jesus Christ in society. They use it as an exclamatory remark, making it more profane. But what is actually being said is Christ is his title. It's the Greek equivalent of the word Messiah. So it is the Messiah. It's the anointed one. It's the anointed servant of God. And I would tell you that if you are looking for people to love in 2026, that you look for someone who is anointed by God to serve God, to serve to the glory of God. And in this case, it is the Son of God. It constantly amazes me that people go to so many ungodly sources looking for a characteristic in their life that only God can provide. The Bible says God is love. There is no other alternative source. And so for me, I'm thankful for the church. It's a place where I can go and I know that I am going to find anointed ministry, anointed service there. I'm going to find anointed servants, and because they love God with all their heart, soul, and mind and strength, they're going to love others as themselves. Those are the two greatest commandments. And you got to keep those in the right order. So when it is talking about who shall bring a charge against God's elect, the answer is, okay, let's look and see what the Son of God did on our behalf. He's the one who justifies us. And so if you are looking for God's best provision in your life, don't go to the trash cans and the sewers that society has to offer. You're going to find a lot of broken, damaged, and hurting people, and they're not going to operate from the same motivation. They're not going to have the same level of commitment as what Jesus provides for us and duplicates that in, or replicates that in the lives of believers. It is Christ who died. There was a heresy in the early church that said that Jesus didn't really die. You know, it was something that defies common sense. And you know, there were a couple of different things. Either heretics in the early church denied his humanity, or they denied his divinity. And so both of those, if you encounter a teaching that says that Jesus Christ is less than the Son of God, you need to understand they do not have an accurate understanding of the theological reality of Jesus, the Son of God. Also, if they divine that he came in the flesh and he suffered and he bled and he died, then they have an inadequate understanding of Jesus, the Son of Man, where he is a mediator between God and man. He is 100% God. He's 100% man. He is able to mediate on our behalf, because that is who he is. The thing that I want to highlight about this is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who, you know, some people would say he's looking to condemn. Actually, he paid the price to make reconciliation with the Father possible. He was willing to pay the price that we might live. And so if you go over to Ephesians chapter 5, you will see that that same mindset is instituted for husbands in verse number 25, Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Okay? And so there is a principle that godly love relationships are going to be willing to pay the price. They're going to be willing to sacrifice. Not just for sacrifice sake, but so that the love of God might prevail. Okay? One of the great deceptions that is going on in society right now is that relationships are supposed to make us happy. Actually, godly covenant relationships are supposed to manifest themselves in a holiness aspect that will result in great happiness. The world says, hey, if you want to be happy, reject the things of God. He just doesn't want you to have fun. I want you to know that's a lie from the pit of hell. The greatest healthy relationships are based in the love of God and being willing to sacrifice for one another to make sure that everyone gets to experience the love of God. And so I'm thankful that Jesus went to the cross. He loved me enough and he loved you enough to go to the cross. But that wasn't the end of the journey. You see, that journey was to make it possible for the next statement, and that is, and furthermore, is also risen. The grave couldn't hold him. But the grave was representative of what the Bible describes as our last enemy, and that is death. And the Bible makes it very clear that because of the sacrificial death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, that now he is the one who holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. So he is resurrected from the dead. That is a first fruit that gives us the blessed hope that we have, that the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a great promise. It's the blessed hope of the church. When you are looking for people to be in relationship, you want to have people who are not going to cave to the circumstances, but they're going to rise to the occasion and make sure that any hostile threats, any enemies to the relationship, that those enemies are going to be defeated. I would highly encourage you that if you're looking for a godly relationship, you look for people who are anointed servants of God, who are willing to pay the price, and they're willing to sacrifice, and they're willing to rise up above the temptations that society has. Men, I want to encourage you to rise up above the temptation of lust and substance abuse and addiction and squandering time. I want you to realize that we have been strategically placed by God in 2026 in Brevard County to rise up later on in chapter 8. Here we'll talk about as more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So you don't want someone that is unwilling to fight for the relationship. And so I want to encourage you, don't surrender to temptation, whatever it might be. You're looking for people who are going to say, you know what? I'm not only willing to defeat the little temptations, I'm willing to, with the help of God, defeat the greatest threats to our relationship. And, I've got this thing, another series that I'm working on in my spirit that is, and God said, I want to embrace when God says yes. I want to embrace it when God says no. I want to embrace what God's word has to say, because I know this: if you have a Goliath that you're facing, listen, a lot of times people miss what the actual conditions were when David faced Goliath. That was supposed to have been a one-on-one encounter, and whoever won that battle, the entire nation was supposed to be subservient to the victorious representative's nation. Either the Philistines were going to come under the rule of the Jewish people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, or the Israelites were going to be subjected to the Philistines if Goliath had won. I want you to see that when David won that battle, that immediately the Philistines rejected the terms and they began to run, and they were a thorn in the flesh of the of Saul and his kingdom for a long, long time. I want you to know that the resurrection is proof that every enemy that you and I will face is going to be defeated and is going to be a footstool for Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. The next one is this: who is furthermore is also risen and is who is even at the right hand of God. I want to encourage you to surround yourself with people who, like Jesus, position themselves properly in the realm of the Spirit. So there's this thing. Well, what are you looking for in a person? Well, I'm looking for a person that has good physical attributes. This is what society, they've got to be so tall. They've got to be have such and such financial means. They've got to... And they go and they list all of these superficial things, and yet they never one time consider that all of those things are temporary or fleeting, and what you are actually looking for is a person who is positioned properly spiritually. In Jesus' case, it was at the right hand of the Father. So God the Son and God the Father. In our case, that means that we are positioned humbly at the foot of the cross, and that the life that we live under the authority of the one who died to save us. Okay. And so, not only, did Jesus position himself in the spiritual, it also shows that he, from that point on, was operating in a position of divine authority. It was the authority that he had had. It was the authority that demons recognized. It was the authority that, that he has today. And you and I need to function in that level of spiritual authority. When we are living under the backing of the authority of the kingdom of God, it means that we can answer that question, who shall bring a charge against God, God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? The truth of the matter is, when we've got people who are loving from a place of godly authority, that it is going to be a place where we're not looking to bring condemnation upon someone else, but instead we're looking to bring them into a relationship with Jesus. Okay? So, we got a few minutes left. Let's talk about this last designation, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus uses his position, uses his authority to pray for us. And I would highly encourage you to have relationships in your life where people pray for you from a position of godly authority, where they are praying for God's best for you. So my journey in prayer has not always come from the right place. When I was very young, I prayed prayers that I thought were edifying, but actually weren't. And so I'll just throw this out there. I wonder what would happen in Brevard County if husbands started praying with and for their wives, and wives started praying with and for their husbands. Now, if you don't have a believing spouse, then I want to encourage you to speak the word of God over them in your prayer time. The Bible is filled with, you know, transformed homes because one person got saved before the other. Almost every home is going to have someone who got saved before the other one did. So make sure that the home is a place that is not a place of condemnation and conflict, but it is a place of prayer and a place of encouragement. And so several things that I jotted down here that you could pray. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for the church that we might be one, that we might be united. In politics, the concept of unity means that people say, okay, you're going to do exactly what I want you to do. And there are philosophical differences that many times make that impossible. So let me say this. Unity is not you doing what I want you to do, and unity is not me doing what you want me to do. Unity is when both of us have come together and said, we are going to function under the authority of God. We are going to function the way that God wants us to. We're going to align ourselves with the way that God thinks. So you can pray for unity. You can pray, God, I pray that your kingdom come as it is in heaven. And I can tell you that when the king comes in, the protocol of the room changes. And it's not just about the presence of the king. It's the kingdom that the king represents. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are supposed to operate under a completely different cultural standard than what the world has to offer. Last thing is this. You can pray for God's will to be done. Pray for God's will to be done. And so it is Christ who died, the anointed one who served. He died. He's willing to pay the price that we might live and be reconciled to God. He is also risen. He rises to the occasion. He defeated our enemies. And so you and I should be working together to defeat spiritual enemies and temptations, who is even at the right hand of God. Position yourself appropriately in the Spirit and then operate in divine authority, who also makes intercession for us. Make sure that you surround yourself with people who pray, who use the authority that God has given to pray for unity, to pray for God's kingdom to come, for God's will to be done in your life, that God will provide, that God will protect. I'm telling you, those few verses or those few words there in Romans 8:34, they are a tremendous guide if you're looking for healthy, loving relationships in your 2026. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.